When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear's a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Welcome to the Wolf and Owl Podcast.
Check it. Two friends, two animals, two saviors of podcasts going head to head in a kiss-a-thon.
I don't know what, but a kiss-a-thon.
What is... Did you plan to say that?
No, it just came into my head at the last minute. Like a kiss-a-thon. I don't know. What is a kiss-a-thon?
What is a kiss-a-thon? Well, that's what I wanted to know.
I mean, you would not be able to do a kiss-a-thon now. But back in the day, I think they were like, you brought kisses from people for charity. So you'd have someone somewhere just sort of say, all right, yeah.
Yeah, but kiss-a-thon is like you just continually... Isn't kiss-a-thon where like you would just kiss for hours and hours?
Yeah, maybe. I mean... Yeah, like you're sort of 14 and it's the first time you've ever French kissed.
Do you remember like when you're 14, you're French kissing, you just do it for ages and ages and ages.
Forever.
You've got nowhere else to go.
Really, really just enjoying that, like, yeah. Kissing.
Should we kiss again?
It's like exhausted the next day from the sheer amount of kissing you've done.
You don't see people kissing anymore, really, do you?
I think this is my thing with stuff like Love Island and stuff like, I'm not anywhere. I get sort of dragged into it a bit. And
you get off on kissing like anyone else.
No, but like, you know, when people of our age start really getting like, oh, so-and-so getting together. I was like, if you're in a nightclub and you just stood around watching other people get hold of each other, you would be classed as some sort of weird pervert, wouldn't you?
Are you saying Love Island is for perverts? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying that everyone who gets so into other people kissing, oh my God, they kissed. I just think like in any other part of life, if you just saw a couple kissing on the street and you just walked up and said, I'm so happy you two have got together, you'd be a fucking weirdo, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but I mean, you could say that for any TV show. If you became really engrossed in like who was involved in this murder, like that would make you a weirdo as well, wouldn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's like,
no, taking an interest in that is different, isn't it? Taking an interest in whether two people are going to kiss or have sex is just different.
If you went into someone's living room and said, can I just watch you guys watching television and see what you say about it? That'd be weird, wouldn't you? But that's Gogglebox, isn't it? You know what I mean?
But that's different, isn't it? Because I'm talking about the fact that...
If you went to some road and you asked some people to put on a puppet show for the benefit of the children, that'd be weird. But that's Sesame Street, isn't it? I mean, I don't know what your point is.
No, but watching and getting really excited if two other people are kissing and making out.
If you went and found Pat Sharp and you asked him to open up his inflatable house so that some kids of yours could go through there and complete.
You know what? This is actually, I think, the most annoying you've ever been on this podcast. I think they're completely different things. I think people over the age of 35 getting excited about other people making out is weird.
So you don't watch Love Island, then? Is that what you're saying?
I watch a bit of it. I watch Are You the One. That's what I'm.
You know
what?
I think I'd be more accepting of this little diatribe that you delivered if you hadn't spent the first 3 months of this podcast raving about Married at First Sight. I mean, the hypocrisy is fucking breathtaking. It's like willful.
No, that's different.
It's not different. It's not different. Not only were you obsessed with the show, you fucking contacted people that had been on it.
Right, listen.
If you watch Love Island, you're a fucking voyeuristic pervert.
No, I'm just saying. Well, I'm looking at the ceremony of marriage and saying, I hope these guys can make it. Love Island is about like kissing and cuddling and whatever, and then people getting their kicks from that. I'm seeing if a relationship works on a deeper level.
Married at First Sight Australia, where they pretend to get married at the beginning of the series. That one.
Oh well, yeah,
and then they engineer to cheat. How can you not think they pretend? What was that couple, the really boring couple from the last one, that were really into each other?
Jules and Cam.
Yeah, Jules and Cam. So if they really got married at the beginning of this series, why the fuck did he propose to her at the end of the series?
I fucking never thought about that. I just thought he wanted. I just thought I was so wrapped up and so happy for them both.
Did it occur to you? Are these guys? Oh, he's just asked her if she'll marry him. Did that not contradict your belief that they were married?
So who was the woman who got them married? It was just a stupid old actress. The one at the top, that was just an actress.
Mate, they're not really married. At the beginning of that show, they're not really getting married. Are you honestly telling me you don't know this?
I thought they were. I take it on face value. And I thought that he was just then giving
proposed to her at the end of the series, bro.
To give her the relationship, give her the marriage that
she was already married.
Yeah, but he wants to give her renewing your vows, which we also talked about on another podcast with you. Mm. You know, something very satisfying just happened to me, by the way.
You farted silently.
No. So some birds have broken into my loft, right? Mm. And I've set up a nest there. Yesterday, a friend of mine and myself covered up their hole so they can't get into the ceiling anymore, into my loft anymore. And I've just watched the bird fly up. Go into my loft and realize that he can't get in because the hole's been closed, so he just flew off again.
I don't mind you and your friend blocking that hole up so that the birds can't get in. The idea that you, like some sort of super villain, just watched out of your window as the birds flown up there only to be disappointed, it really says a lot about you. Do you know that?
No, he is.
It's like a little Montgomery Burns sitting, oh, come on, try and get into the hole.
Right. You don't got to do that hand out. Look, let me tell you, this bird has shat all over my garden. Mm. Like, I've been in a running battle with this bird for, I'd say, 3 months.
Right.
And I finally found where he's getting into my house.
Yeah.
So now.
Who is his friend?
Huh?
Who's his friend?
Well, he's got loads of, he's got kids and all sorts up there.
No, not him. You, your friend that you got to build.
Oh, Matt the builder. Yeah.
Right. So what did you say to Matt?
I said I got a hole in my. I actually originally thought I had a nest in my drain pipe.
Right.
But you know, he came around with his ladder. He went up there and said, no, you've definitely got a hole in the roof, mate. So,
what did you block it up with?
Mortar. It's very satisfying.
How good? I can tell. That's why I'm laughing because you just seem.
It feels like it's
like a massive weight off your shoulders. You got a bit of spring. You got a bit of swagger in you that you haven't had.
I've been out with my Karcher jet washer on my patio more than I should. Like the stones, I've taken like fucking layer, but skin upon skin like off the stones now. So I'm now in a place where I know that bird can fuck off and find somewhere else to go. Yeah. It's like when you close down like a fucking really rough pub, or people do. So he's gone. How are you feeling in yourself at the moment, by the way? I feel bad because we've not talked about how is your fitness draft going?
Why are you asking this? Why have you got a little smile in your face? Have you heard something to suggest that it's not going well?
No. Who would I hear that from? No, I'm just asking you whether you've been... No, because I had boxing this morning, so I'm just asking.
Oh, I see. Well, actually, I had personal training this morning as well.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
How did it get on? What sort of stuff are you doing? What's he got you doing?
Well, I did a little bit on the assault bike.
I've got one of those. They're amazing.
Right, so why are they so horrible?
They're fucking killers. It's what are you insane. Doing? Are you doing like 10, 20 second things or what?
He'll go to me like do 20 calories, then jump off and do some weights, then jump back on, do 20 calories, then jump up, like a circuit thing.
Oh, Jesus.
It's horrible. It's truly horrible. Assault bike, like when you start, it's like blowing air into your face and you sort of think, oh, this is quite nice. And then very quickly, you feel like you're going to die.
I try and do it like 3 or 4 times a week. Like when a lot of people are jumping on the Peloton vibe, I jumped on the assault bike. That's what I got.
What made you steer away from the Peloton? Because you got in touch with them and they wouldn't give you a free one.
Did you get a free one?
No. But I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy. I'm happy to pay for shit.
I just thought they were a lot of money. A lot of commercialism going into it. And I actually thought I'm more of an honest.
You're right. Assault bike is a lot more underground and sort of. No, if you've got high ethics and moral standards, you go for an assault bike.
No, exactly. Yeah. That's what I just thought. No, that's the kind of guy I am.
I know. And how you doing food wise?
Eating. Actually, I had a massive curry last night, and I had a curry on Saturday night. My eating's been pretty fucking.
Did you make it yourself, or did you get a takeaway?
No, I got a takeaway.
Both times.
I went out on Saturday night after a hell of a round of golf. Shout out the Grove, by the way.
Yeah, it looks like you had a lot of fun there. I mean, I'm fully aware of the fact that you played golf because you shared a lot of it on the old gram, didn't you? You were really...
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I can tell you enjoyed it.
It was actually quite a tense game in the end between me and Danny Jones from McFly, McBusted.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was me and him going head to head. And shout out Matt Wilkinson, big fan of the show. It was a really, really good game. I'm looking forward to you. You're going to start playing, aren't you?
I've just got my clubs through. So
have you been out with him yet?
No, I haven't because... Can I ask a little bit of... This is a bit boring for people that aren't into golf. I want to go to the driving range.
Yeah.
Do I just turn up there with a couple of clubs and then buy some balls and have a go? Is that how it goes? You don't turn up there with your full set, do you? Like a dickhead.
Yeah, you can turn. I'm going to go tonight. I'll have my full set.
Right. How many balls?
But if I was you to take your 7-iron... No, just get like 50 balls and then hit them. But I know
what to do once I've got the ball.
No, but do you know how to strike the ball and stuff?
Not well. I got shown for the show with Rob.
Do you remember really it? Done it. Do you still remember it?
I remember it sort of, yeah. But it's still 50-50 whether I'm going to make contact with the ball or not.
Well, you know, the big thing is look at the ball the whole time.
Right. Okay.
Just keep watching the ball.
Look at the ball the whole time, straight arm, right? Is that right?
Straight arm. Straight. That's a bit of a fallacy. But
what do you mean?
Well, keep your eye on the ball is the big thing, right? Yeah. Always on the ball. Mm. And then up and down and round. And just make sure, right, that your body follows through with it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all about weight.
How good do I have to be before I can actually go out on a course? I mean, I don't even know what club to use when.
Yeah, well, I'm still struggling with that. Look, I'm going to do a shout out now. If you listen to this and you live near Romesh, right, and you can give him some golf lessons. But I'm saying now, golf pros, people who know what they're fucking talking about, get in touch, give us an email, because you will need lessons. That's the best thing I've done.
Okay.
I'll be slightly jealous if you get free lessons, though.
I'm not after free lessons. I'm happy to pay.
Yeah, I know what you're like.
What do you mean? Go on, finish
actually, it. Actually, I need to shout out something really amazing, actually, because Romesh has done a pretty special thing this week.
What?
Look, you are a gentleman always, you know, you're very close in my heart. But to get me and you tickets for the Scotland game, I thought was genuinely one of the kindest things that anyone's ever done for me. I genuinely mean that. Like, it's such a sweet thing.
I sort of think to myself, you know, all this time since lockdown started, we've been doing the Insta lives. And by the way, Tom knows I'm about to start talking for a while, so he's taking his eyes away from the screen.
I've just dropped a sweet on the floor.
Because once somebody else starts talking, he's got absolutely no interest, even if it's a one-to-one conversation.
No, I was juggling a sweet and I dropped it.
You're juggling a sweet. It's interesting, isn't it? Because we started doing the Insta lives and then we talked about, you know, we did the podcast and all of that.
Yeah.
And then we saw each other at King Gary, didn't we? We see each other at League of Their Own and stuff. But the only time you've agreed to see me socially is when I've managed to sort out England tickets. It's interesting, that, isn't it? But you're off with Danny McFly or whatever, playing golf, whatever. So you constantly see Instagram like stories of you just looking down the barrel of the camera on a night out. All that shit. He almost, Tom got so excited there, he almost went over the back of his chair.
I nearly generally fell off the back of my chair. Listen, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to having a couple of cold ales with you, rejoicing when we beat the Scotlands. Yeah, singing. I've got this like little fetish of just the thought of your face when you're singing Three Lions and you're just really belting it out. Just, yeah.
If you think I've got that in my locker, you're going to be sadly disappointed.
Do you not sing at football?
I do shout and stuff. I don't know if I would sing Three Lions.
Oh, mate, wait till you see me. Wait till you see me. I'm going to be singing so loud. I love as soon as any song goes around the stadium, I try and sing as loud as I can so I can be the loudest. But is that the Swan?
It's the Swan, yes. The Swan? Tom heard you there. How, she's just come back from PT. Oh, she was just directing the fan on me. Isn't that lovely?
What?
I know.
Isn't your wife lovely? Has just walked in and put the fan on you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the sole reason she came in?
No, she's come back from personal training. How's personal training? Lisa has the same personal training as me. How did he say, did he tell you anything about how I did this morning?
He said he worked you hard.
There you go.
Wow.
Said he worked me hard. And then we started training.
How wrong.
Oh, dear.
Do you feel good from training? Have you got like all the sort of, what are they called? Is it the sort of adrenaline and endorphins just going through your body?
Endorphins?
Yeah.
Endorphins.
Endorphins, endorphins.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't just do endorphins. It's not a word. Oh, it probably endorphins will be. It'd probably be the correct word.
Do you feel like a buzz though? That's what I love about training.
I do. Yeah, but I tell you, the buzz goes away when I see myself. I know this is a bit of a theme, but like.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
At Sephora, we know how you love to use makeup, skincare, hair care, and fragrances that work for you, but also how important it is to be in the know about the ingredients that are in them, which is why we created Clean at Sephora. Curated products from brands like Merit, Amika, Summer Fridays, and Fleur that have everything you want, minus certain ingredients you might not. Clean at Sephora is only at Sephora. Shop now at Sephora.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's just I want to look better than I do for the hard work you put in. It is a long road. It is a long road. But yeah, I do feel good. I feel much better for it. It's the eating though that gets me, bro. As you know,
eating and drinking.
You can't out train a bad diet.
Wow, wow. That someone's got a t-shirt on with that that you know, right?
Oh my god, not that I know. If somebody I knew had a t-shirt like that, it turned up for a night out with a t-shirt like that. That's our friendship over.
What do you make about logo t-shirts? Where do you sit with like people who have those sort of things on them?
Like what kind of logos are you talking about? Slogans? Like funny slogans
or catchphrases?
Like my other t-shirts are Ferrari or whatever.
Yeah. Or I'm with stupid.
I'll be honest with you. I make a negative judgment about people.
It's so bad as well because I just think the people who wear those could actually be some of the funniest and loveliest people you're ever going to meet.
Yeah.
But, like, I've been on stag do's and people have judged the room wrong and worn one of those. It's like, you know, I'm going to say now, right? It's like when people think when they see someone in an England football shirt that they're a football hooligan. That is completely the wrong self-respecting football hooligan is wearing an England shirt or anything that's England merchandise. I'll tell you that now, right? And I just always, like, I made a real thing of whenever I've been on a stag do or I've been on a group of lads and someone turns up with that sort of T-shirt, I'll make such an effort with that person. Because I know for the fact that for the most part, the rest of the group has turned on them.
If you already, look, when you think about it, the intentions of that T-shirt
so pure and so decent,
so good. You know, they're probably putting that T-shirt on, thinking, "Do you know what? I'm going to put this on, and I'm going to make people feel good. Maybe someone will walk past, see that little joke, and bring a smile to their face." You compare that to people who wear designer T-shirts, right? And the desire is evil when you put a designer T-shirt on, because what you're doing is you're putting that on to make other people feel
jealous.
It's a superiority thing. This is an expensive T-shirt, and I've managed to get it. And I'm making it out like T-shirts are much more exclusive than they are. But that is the kind of that's the thought process, isn't it?
Peacocks and roosters. That's what I say.
Yeah,
peacocks and roosters.
Right. Go explain it for me.
Well, peacocks are all about, oh, look at me, I've got like lovely colour feathers.
And
roosters are like quite silly and by their very nature just very willful. And yeah, they can be a bit annoying, but they actually got the best intentions of getting people up early and making sure people are okay.
Okay, the peacock thing I've heard a lot. The rooster thing I've never heard. Can I just ask, is it possible that you've just freestyled that rooster thing?
No, that's what I think of roosters. Roosters.
You think roosters are a bit silly?
When
have you seen a rooster being
silly? Whenever I've seen roosters, they're always messing about. They don't take life too seriously, roosters. Nah, of all of the birds.
They're up at 5 a.m.
Yeah, because do you know why they get up at 5? What? To make sure you get up and other people get up. Right? So they've got other people's best intentions in their mind. You know, they've only got the small... I think they've got the second smallest brains out of all the birds.
Is that true?
Yeah. But it's them and then chickens. Like
chickens have got the smallest brain of any bird.
Yeah, I'll tell you now, right? Roosters and chickens, if I was any sort of bird, that's what I'd want to be.
Like, because they've got the smallest brain?
No, because they've just got a good way about them.
Why have chickens got a good way? In what way?
Because I just think they don't take life too seriously. Of all of the birds, you look at other birds, they're always like fucking on the prowl. They're quite devious.
Yeah.
They've got quite suspicious eyes about them, right?
Yeah.
And actually... You know who's got eyes like a bird?
Yeah.
Suspicious eyes. David Beckham.
David Beckham's got suspicious eyes like a bird.
Like a bird. If you look at his eyes are very much suspicious and, like a bird. Right?
When you were doing your PT this morning, did you drop some NDMA?
No. Right. I'm just saying now, right, that when you look... Right. You name me what bird you want to be. And don't say an owl, because obviously we know that.
Okay, let me just say something. You're assuming that everybody wants to be some type of bird.
No.
That's the first thing. Secondly, you've just said chickens are what? You like chickens more than any other bird because they're not suspicious and they don't take life too seriously.
Yeah.
And they are easily the most slaughtered and eaten bird in the whole of the fucking world. So, you know, that's where their lack of suspicion has got them.
No, right.
All right? You love chickens, and I reckon, at a rough estimate, you eat 27 of them a week, I would say.
Right, listen. No, I'd want to be a chicken.
And that's somebody who loves them.
I want to be a chicken, right, who lives with a nice farmer.
Right. Go on.
You know, like Babe, like the pig, Babe.
Yeah.
Because that got geezer, and that was more than a pet for him. It was like his best friend.
Would you rather be a chicken than a pig?
Yeah, all day long.
Why?
I just think pigs are just stupid. I don't know.
You just said chickens have got the smallest brain of any
bird. No, but pigs are just a bit devious and nasty by nature. They'll eat humans. I will tell you now, mate, if there's any animal in this world that fucking revolts against us, it will be fucking pigs.
Why?
The ones that you don't see coming. Because they're intelligent and they can eat humans.
You said they're stupid.
I didn't mean stupid as intelligence wise.
Right. What do you mean stupid?
I just don't like them as
they dress.
Fucking,
you just don't.
I meant it as insult.
You meant them like an 8-year old says stupid. Like you're stupid.
Yeah. Like a kid. But pigs, mate, is I would say now everyone's worried about, like, you know, fucking like when, you know, the film about gorillas and stuff and all that, you know, when they take over the
world. Yeah, people enjoyed the film, but nobody's worried about that. Nobody watched the film going, oh, that's a horrible prophecy for what might happen. It's just the trouble.
Yeah, but no one thought about this pandemic and thought, like, oh, this could happen. You don't know, mate. That's the trouble. Like, anything could happen. That's what we've got to get our heads around when it comes to society and the future. Okay. Right? And everyone's got their eye on, like, sort of, like, lions and gorillas and stuff. Nobody's got their eye.
Listen, this is what I don't... Nobody's got their eye on lions and gorillas. If any, gorillas and lions are both, like, pretty much endangered animals.
Yeah, and who isn't an endangered animal? Who isn't? Pigs.
What's your point?
I would say now that pigs are the ones that we have to watch more than anything else.
What do you think might happen?
Well, because they're intelligent, so they've got a good understanding of humanity, and they can eat a human in, like, something like 4 hours.
So... Yeah, whereas humans famously never eat pigs.
It's
such fucking human privilege to be talking about a pig and can go for a human in 4 hours. As if bacon isn't the most fucking popular meat on the planet.
No, I'm just saying. It's just worth keeping like one eye on them. Like if you sure. Yeah. You know, I think that anyway, that's where I am with animals. Mm.
Mm. Okay. And how's your well hydrate, bro.
No, let me tell you, by the way, I can't remember what it's called. At golf the other day, I was introduced to another protein drink, which was absolutely delicious.
Mm.
What's it lemon called? And lime flesh. I can't remember what it's called, but it was so thirst quenching. It was unbelievable.
Well, what a great recommendation. So if you look out for, guys, a little tip for you there. If you can find some random lemon and lime drink that Tom was given at the golf the other day, maybe you two can have the same experience that Tom did. Thank you so much.
I will find out his name. Also, while we're here, a lot of people have been getting in touch about the underpants that we were talking about. So it's Under Armour trunks.
So Under Armour's been getting a lot of shouts. Also, Saks. I've had a few messages from people saying they also enjoy Saks.
How are you finding the Saks, by the way? They're nice on your balls, right?
Yeah, why are you saying that?
I'm just saying, how are you finding
them? Yeah, they're nice on my balls, yeah.
Yeah. What
the hell was that?
I'm just thinking about like upgrading to a pair of Saks.
Okay. And then Oddballs is the other one that's been recommended. I've never tried Oddballs. What do they do? Underwear?
No. But right, Saks are incredible because they've got this fucking hammock for your balls, right?
Yeah. Apparently, Oddballs are really comfortable around that. The twig and berries as well.
The twig and berries? Wowzers. Wowzers, boy. I'm going to give a little test drive to the Saks, you know?
Okay. Should we do some underwear? Do you know what? Actually, before I get into this, do you know what we're guilty of on this podcast? I've noticed this from the emails. We are very guilty of saying we're going to do stuff and then never mentioning it again or doing it.
Yeah.
For example, the Scat special, the Married at First Sight special,
the running race that you bloused out of.
The running race, right?
Yeah.
The confirming the live dates. All of this stuff, we keep setting up. So now I was about to set up something else there, but then I thought, but I was going to suggest we do underwear reviews. Should we do a couple of underwear reviews?
Yeah, I think some underwear. Yeah, let's do some underwear reviews.
Mm.
It'd be good to make, it'd be great if we could get our hands on some new underwear for Friday because we'd be together then.
Okay, but I don't want to meet you on Friday knowing that we're wearing this underwear that we're going to review. Because also being at the football with you, absolutely no doubt you will start telling people we're wearing the same boxer shorts.
Should we dress a lot, by the way?
Are you wearing England?
Oh, yeah, I'm wearing an England shirt. Yeah.
Are you going straight to the game from home?
No. I've got a meeting.
So you're going to wear England stuff for the meeting?
No, I'm not that uncouth. I'm not wearing an England shirt to a fucking important meeting. I'm going to wear some sort of safe top. I'll have that on. And then everything else will be at the change well. And then it was just, England top will go on.
We had a nice little tech session during the game, didn't we? What did you think of the England game?
It was good. I thought Calvin Phillips looked great. I think it was a good, solid result. It could have got easy gone. I didn't think they were great, but it could have gone the other way. I think Czechoslovakia are going to be the hardest game in that top, in that group. They look good.
Cut to us losing to Scotland.
Scotland's always going to be difficult because it's a, yeah, the rivalry there, and they're going to be pumped up for it maybe more than we are. I think it's I think that'll be a blinding game. I'm just looking forward to just really shouting loud.
What, I've never been to the football. It just suddenly occurred to me. I've never been to the football with you. No. Why would I? Because we don't support the same team.
Well, you know what? We're going to the football and rugby within 2 weeks of each.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But like, but what are you? How loud are you at the football?
I go up and down. It depends on what the result is. I can get quite.
Do you swear?
I get very. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like an old fish maid.
Fish wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
A fish maid. A fish maid sounds like a maid who sort of tends to the needs of fish.
Not a bit of mackerel with his own maid.
Just like, but just like when we're at the football together, just reel it in a bit. Do you know what I mean? Just sort of...
Wow, look at you with the old fish pun.
What? Oh, shit, that wasn't even deliberate.
No. I know that we'll have nice seats, so yeah. We won't have to sit 2 seats away from each other, will we?
No, I don't think so. But I think it is spread out. I sort of find that spread out stuff. But you know, like at the football, when you look in the stands and they're all spread out like that, it looks more raucous than if it was packed, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because they're all sort of all over the shop, aren't they? It looks pretty mad.
It's a really sad moment in the game where like everyone was really celebrating and there was just one old guy on his own. Not really sorry for him.
Do you know sometimes... I've had it happen less to me recently, but every now and again, I will see somebody in a difficult situation or their face looks a bit sad when they're doing something, or, you know, you drive past somebody and people are in an argument and one of them looks really sort of like they're getting the worst of it. And that person's face will stay with me for a long time. Like, I'll be really upset about wondering how they are. Like, do you ever have that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I keep thinking about that guy at the England game.
Oh, mate, like, it's horrible.
When we scored... And all these guys had sort of come together and sort of like, you know, just like, oh, we're all going to sort of like stand next to each other and celebrate, right? And he just sort of went, he looked around and sort of smiled at them. And it was just a really, it was quite a sad, sobering moment. Just thinking, you know, he didn't have the confidence to run over and sort of hug everyone. I feel for him.
I was on a bus once and a bloke got on with loads of shopping. And he said, does this go to... wherever, I can't remember where he's going. And the guy goes, no, that's the next one. And he looked so dejected that the bus wasn't going where he wanted it to go.
He probably had ice cream, didn't he?
Yeah, silly bastard's bought a Viennetta and not checked which bus goes to his house. but honestly, man, I couldn't get rid of his face the whole day, man.
Really?
Like, even as I'm telling the story, this is years ago. Even as I'm telling
the story.
Can you
still
see
his face?
Yeah. Mate, horrible. Horrible. I don't like that.
It's a really, really sad thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Like, I used to have it when I was a kid. Like, I remember the Garfield movie. I can't believe I'm getting into this level of detail now. But there's a bit where Odie gets taken away. And when I was a kid, for a long time, this is really sad. No wonder I got bullied. Every time I think about that bit from the Garfield film, I start crying.
Jesus Christ, really? That's one of the sweetest things I've ever heard. Well, you'd actually cry out loud. What, like at school and stuff?
Well, I try not to think about it at school because, like, what my level of popularity didn't need was me just crying on a fucking whim.
It's so hard, though, isn't it? We used to have a boy like that. Maybe he was like you. But he moved from another school when he came to our school. And he'd sometimes just start crying in the middle of class. His hands would go blue.
His hands would go blue.
Yeah. He looked a bit like a Dickens type character. And you know, the worst thing, I was in the bottom classes for everything. He got put in our class because he was actually very intelligent, but he just got put in our classes for some reason. I think because he was just so shy. It didn't really work out very well for him, bless him. It was just sort of like, you know, we all liked him. He was quite a little character in his own way. Do you know what I mean? But it always made me think a bit of Andy Dufresne in Shawshank Redemption. You know, sort of the way that, he came in and he sort of just, sad. I wonder whatever happened to him. Actually, it'd probably be quite easy to find him actually on Facebook.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, it's quite a sad story, but what's clear from this is in the 30 years since you've been at school, you haven't bothered to look him up. So
I never even thought about him until you sort of started talking about you crying. I just remember him sort of sometimes whimpering in the middle of the. I know you just go, and it, you know, what's up and all that. And then, you used to have really, really basic packed lunches as well.
Oh, God, Tom, can you stop?
I'm just saying.
No, because I'm starting to feel for this geezer now.
Yeah, yeah. If you could see, I can see him in my mind's eye now.
Mm.
Yeah.
The hands going blue thing actually sounds like a medical problem. I mean, did they do anything about that?
I don't know. I mean, it's like he really sort of he'd speak now and again, and sort of like he'd speak sort of in a bit of a whisper.
Tom, and, did you have a ghost come to join you at your school?
No. I remember his mum was deaf, but he spoke in a whisper, which I always found quite confusing. This is true, right? There was a boy in my class, right, who he said he'd seen a ghost. He told everyone he'd seen a ghost, right? And then about 3 or 4 days later, he came in and he was like, I actually wasn't a ghost. It was one of the old guys. It's an old man who lives like 3 doors away, and he's crept into my bedroom.
What?
You know, like in flats, you get the flat roofs.
Yeah.
He managed to sort of creep along the flat roofs and just, yeah. It was like in the summer. Yeah.
And you found that funny, did you?
No, I didn't. No, it was fucking dark, but I just thought it was weird that he thought at first it was a ghost because it like he opened his eyes, the man was dead, and then the man ran off. Yeah. He thought it was a ghost, but I was like, sure, yeah. And he told everyone in school it was a ghost.
Oh, God. Bad. Okay, that's really sad. Jesus, I wish I hadn't told any of that.
No, I'm trying to make you feel better. Like everyone goes.
It's such a sad, horrible story.
No, but what I'm trying to say is, it wasn't. Everyone goes through shit at school. It's not just you. Mm. We all go through it. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
You know, actually, just quickly, the one bit used to always make me cry is in the Transformers, the cartoon movie, when Bumblebee died.
Oh, my God. On that moon?
Yeah. Actually, just ruined me.
Were you not bothered when Optimus Prime died?
A little bit. Not as much. I think, you know, in a way, he sort of had probably a better life than Bumblebee did. Sort of did everything he needed.
Stationed out on that moon satellite with Buster Witwicky. Absolute nightmare.
I might watch that old cartoon a little later today, actually.
You know the story of that film? So, like, they killed Optimus Prime, they killed Bumblebee. The whole reason for that was that they just wanted to bring out the new generation of toys, right?
Oh, really?
So, yeah, that was the whole reason. The reason they did the movie, kill off a load of these Transformers, then we could bring out some new ones. They didn't realise how emotionally devastating everyone would find Optimus Prime dying, though. Because, like, he was the Autobots, right? So,
yeah.
And then they had that horrific scene where he just basically gets murked.
Yeah, and it's then, freaking dark,
though. Weird scene with Hot Rod fishing. I don't know if I really got that.
Yes. I used to love that. I used to like Mask as well.
Oh, yeah. Mask, Crusaders, fighting crime.
The mission.
Venom, the supervision. Mask.
Mask, Crusaders. Yeah. Man. Do you know, I was too old really, but I got really into Ninja Turtles and then Bucky O'Hare, and that was sort of
Bucky, Captain Bucky O'Hare.
that was at a time
Bucky
where you
O'Hare
should have
was shit. Bucky yeah, was shit, awful. Man.
They were running out of ideas there.
Ninja Turtles, great.
Yeah.
Bucky O'Hare.
That's one of my ambitions, to sort of do a Ninja Turtle movie.
Like, as what?
We could be
Bebop and Rocksteady, you and me.
That would be fucking sick, wouldn't it?
That would be super sick.
Yeah. Or we could just do the voices for all the turtles.
Yeah. Oh, love that.
Yeah, that would be
amazing. Hey, dude.
Cowbunger, man.
Splinter says we gotta concentrate.
Yeah, you can never concentrate. You're just an idiot, Michelangelo.
Oh my God, it's Shredder.
My name's Shredder.
I'm Krang. I'm gonna defeat her, Ninja Turtle.
We used to have a teacher actually talking about school, and her name was and we all called her Splinter because she looked like Splinter the Rat.
Okay. What a horrible, horrible story where you've named the person involved. Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay, right. Do you want to do some emails?
Yeah, go on.
Okay. So this is anonymous. Dear Wolf, Owl and the Swan, a few weeks ago, you spoke a bit about your experiences of childhood bullying. It was so nice to hear about two successful men who at school were not so successful in the social contest talking about their experiences. I also feel this is a feminist issue, and if I can help another young woman who's struggling to fully relax, I would feel that my job is done. The incident. I'd recently joined a new school, which was seen as the closest thing to a private school in the area, which you didn't have to pay for. Coming from another rougher East London secondary school, I felt the need to fit in. Unfortunately, in my second year of being there, year eight, there was an incident that ruined all chances of that. In one French class, while sitting next to a few girls that were nice enough to talk to me, I felt a sneeze coming on. Not having the time to think about it or check in with the status of the rest of my body, I sneezed, and the next thing I remember hearing was the whole class erupt in laughter. I opened my eyes to see everyone staring at me, and I realised they had sneezed and let out one of the loudest farts I'd ever done. I saw my teenage life flash before my eyes. One friend next to me said, "I think you just combusted, didn't you?" And it didn't help that the teacher said, "Well, that was loud for a small girl." Unfortunately, some knob in my class decided to invent a new song. Dodo did a fart in French. It was really loud. That was a song. Terrified of this song, I hid at every opportunity. I also gave up with makeup for a year, along with believing that any boy would fancy me after that. But this story of bullying has a happy ending. I met a good bunch of weird friends in year 10 and enjoyed school. I'm now working in mental health, hoping to become a CBT therapist, and I'm with a guy who doesn't mind when I fart. He farts too. He still appears to find me sexy, and we often laugh at how surprising mine can be. Bottom line, farting is a feminist issue. Women can still be sexy and relax their bum. Spread the word and your chicks.
Let me just say something, Anonymous. No, I'm going to tell you now. I think that the truest, happiest moment in any relationship is when you both fart in front of each other. I think you can tell someone you love them and it might mean it, they might not. I think you can get married, you can da-da-da. I think the very moment that you fart, someone farts in front of you or you fart in front of them is the moment you're completely relaxed with the person you're with and you can turn around and go, you know what, this is the person I'm with the rest of my life. I genuinely believe that. I think it's a very big moment. And I've got friends and I say, you know what, I say they're friends. I look at them and I think, you're not that happy. I've got people I know who say, oh, my missus doesn't fart in front of me or I don't fart in front of my missus. And I look at them and think, how can you fucking do that? That's not a relationship. Everyone fucking does it. So what you've both got to leave the room. I think it's fucking hilarious when it happens. It's just a part of life. And also, let me say as well, Anonymous, and I wish that we could call you by your name because you sound like an absolute legend of a human being, is that I think, at school, those moments, I had so many of those moments where things, I embarrassed myself one way or another. And you think that's the end. And even as an adult, that's but all of those things basically, make you the human being you are. So I think roll on the fact that big fits, that's big sneeze and that big fart, it took you above anyone else in the class and made you somebody. So
no, but farting, I mean, there's two different issues here. Farting in front of your other half, I'm totally in favour of, and in fact would encourage and support. Farting in front of your class at school.
Do you remember on the set of King Gary where I had really bad wind?
Yeah, I remember it. It's called, I call it every day of filming.
No, that really bad that day in the woods when we had to share that little...
Oh my God, that was awful.
We had to share that little porter cabin together.
Oh, in a porter cabin, which had, what, 20 minutes of air in it at best. It doesn't even leave the fucking... You don't even leave the cabin to fart.
You know, right, number one, it's really cold outside. And number two, right, I made a mistake there because I tried to over egg the pudding. Like, I should have just had meat. I ended up having falafel or something to sort of sit with you and have something vegetarian. Because I sort of like was
don't
like,
don't pin
know,
it
that.
On me. Don't blame it on me.
And it really fucking, something just didn't click with me.
Yeah, but the, you know what? The problem is, it's not only rude to me. It's also then having to watch every like member of production who opens the door and has to pretend they've not been physically knocked back by a wall of fucking stench. Just pretending they've not had an actual visceral reaction to opening the door.
I couldn't help it. But no, there were so many of them. By the end of it, I just, yeah, I've got to say that's one of the worst fart displays I've ever had.
Yeah. And he does, and listen, Tom's a very, very experienced fart displayer. Some people do slideshows, but Tom will often just invite people around and put on a fart display. Oh, anyway, she's called herself the squirrel. So there you go, squirrel. Thank you for your email. I'm glad you found love.
I'd actually love to sit with those two and just chat and have a couple of beers and a couple of farts with those guys.
Yeah, that'd be delightful. Can you imagine if you met up with another couple and all of you became comfortable enough to just all four of you just start
you
farting?
Know what? You know, farting could just be like, you know, like when people, like gentlemen in films will go outside and have like a glass of sort of sherry and like a cigar.
Yeah,
I always think it'd be quite nice to sort of like after a really big meal, just go and have like sort of, you know, some sort of like nice drink and then just sort of stand outside and just let out a couple of big farts. That'd be so nice, wouldn't it? Because you have to hold them in like when you're at a nice restaurant. You're not allowed to just fart in a nice restaurant.
No.
Yeah. So it'd be quite
well,
a nice thing.
I would sort of say that sort of openly farting is frowned upon in any restaurant. I've never gone anywhere. I thought this restaurant is about the level that you can probably fart in.
Like TGI Fridays, you can probably let out a little fart, right? But I'm saying that like, if it's a really ritzy place, you feel really conscious about having a, you know, even letting out a little silent fart. But it'd be just quite nice if you could turn around to the waiter and say, excuse me, can I have a drink set out to the, you know, the rooftop? I'm just going to go out there and let out a fart. And then you just walk out, there'd be other people and everyone would be farting. And you just be, oh, good evening, how was your food? Oh, it was lovely. Yeah.
Yeah, but people are eating, Tom.
No, but you're not in the restaurant doing that. Right. You go into like an outdoor space or another room.
Like a farting area.
Yeah, like you have a smoking area and you have like a farting area.
Well, they need quite to be nice pretty thing. Far apart from each other, I'd say.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously you'd have to now because of social distancing. I don't think also, everyone would be out there at once. You'd probably like, if you'd have like, say in the place you'd
have... What would you do? Imagine that is set up and then, like, you can even make eye contact with people. You just walk, everybody knows they've come out there to fart.
The first couple of times you wouldn't be able to, but then once you sort of went to enough places that had fart layout places, you'd sort of just go, you know, let out a little fart, sort of smile, sort of drink your brandy or... whatever you have it, like your sort of coffee, and then just go back inside.
Okay. Are you genuinely putting this forward as an idea?
Yeah, I think it could work. I'm not saying every restaurant would have it. I just think it's sort of places that, yeah, I think could be quite a nice sort of place. I think we just need to be less embarrassed about farting.
There's being less embarrassed, and there's dedicating a room to it at a restaurant.
You'd have a smoking space there, right? Yeah. And then you'd be there having a fag, and I'd walk past and go, hello, mate, I'm just off for a fart. And I'd just go down to the farting space.
Okay, yeah. You're the sort of guy that would announce it. I disagree. I'm just going to say that I disagree.
Well, maybe there should be a poll. How many people think there should be a little fart area?
Somebody said to me that rather than getting people to email in, we should do an Instagram poll.
Okay.
So Can we, off on Wednesday, I'll put the poll up on the old stories. Cool. Yeah, should there be a farting chamber?
Yeah. In or just an outdoor space. And anyone who wants to draw up plans of how it could work, just email in your plans.
What plans?
if we've got any surveyors or architects.
Why do you need a surveyor for an outdoor space?
No, someone might have an idea of how it might look like, you know.
Okay.
We've got some very talented people listen to this podcast. It was quite interesting.
I imagine, though, just off the top of my head, it would look a lot like outside with like a fence around it.
Yeah, exactly. But so what sort of fence would you have? Pagoda out there? Some chairs. Some people can't fart standing up. So,
okay. Another email?
Yes, sir.
Good morning to the Swan Wolf and Owl. This is anonymous. I'd appreciate if I could stay anonymous. I wonder if you could offer me some of your words of wisdom. I've been with my partner for around 9 years. And before his relationship with me, he was married. And I have a lovely daughter who I get on well with. I wasn't involved in the relationship breakdown and met him around 18 months after they'd split. My issue is with his mother, who has remained extremely close with his ex-wife. Generally, I don't mind this, nor let it bother me too much. But recently, things have escalated, whereas Mama started referring to the ex as her daughter-in-law in front of me and tagging my partner and his ex-wife in old family photos online, where the ex and his mum proceed to reminisce about the good old days, knowing full well that I can see these comments. The final straw is that my partner's auntie is having a birthday party later in the year, and his mum has taken it upon herself to invite the ex without consulting my partner or considering how I might feel about this. My boyfriend is also not pleased with the situation, but does not have the balls to address it, her wording, not mine, with his mum, as she can be very dramatic and highly strung. So just tiptoes around her and buries his head in the sand, hoping it goes away. His daughter's a teenager now, so there's not really much excuse for the ex's heavy involvement. And if I'm honest, I think she enjoys having this hold on his family over me, particularly if she wasn't the one to end the marriage. I have no choice but to stand my ground, and have now said I'm not going to attend the party if the ex is there. But the whole situation has started to cause tension in an otherwise happy relationship. I can take your brutal honesty, so from an outsider's perspective, am I being unreasonable? I don't feel like I am, but sometimes question myself when my boyfriend plays it down so much. Any advice on how to deal with the situation? I'm not sure how much more I can take. Much love to all. Thank you. Tommy, do you want me to go first or are you happy to go
first? Well, I'm happy to go first. And I'm happy to say I do not think you are at all. There's any... this is a massive problem and I don't think you are making anything a big deal out of it at all. I think it's a difficult one. I think it's always quite a... I don't know the relationship between Lisa and your mother. I always think it's the relationship between your wife and your mum is a beautiful one. It can be a very happy one. But there's always going to be different. I think that any in-laws is going to be, because it's a coming together of two families. It's coming, there's always going to be an element of friction. There's always going to be an element of, this is how we do things. This is how you do things. I think as well with sons and mothers, I think sons are often quite scared. I know at times, not scared, but I sometimes worry about saying certain things to my mum because I don't want to upset her, or I don't want to, for her to ever feel that I'm being, out of order or make her feel anything but happy. But sometimes I think, as a man, you do need to stand up and have an actual, and it doesn't have to come from an aggressive place. It doesn't have to come from an argumentative place. I think, you say your sort of mother-in-law is dramatic and stuff, and maybe in a sense she wants this sort of, not argument, but she sort of needs this, she needs someone to say something. I think the fact of the matter is, if it started causing ruptions within your life and your boyfriend's life, I think you're going to have to say something. Well, he needs to step up, really. He needs to step up and say that this isn't on. I think it's fine to have a relationship with her, the mother of his child. I think that's fine. Actually, it's quite nice that she does. I think sometimes it's in relationships, people can just move on quite quickly and forget about people. I think that's in itself quite a sad thing, but I don't think your relationship, and if you've been with someone for 9 years, should be compromised by the fact of her doing that. It all feels a bit mean-spirited, really, and it feels like your feelings aren't being taken into account. And actually, the truth of the matter is, I think he needs to say something. You need to tell him that this isn't you making a fuss out of nothing. And it could have the worst kind of sort of repercussions if he doesn't do something about it. So I totally feel you. And I think it's up to him to stand up and in the, you know, I don't mean this in a, but it's time for him to step up and be a man. Ramesh.
Yeah, I partially agree with Tom. I agree with all of his sentiments. And I also don't think you're being unreasonable. However, what I would say is you can choose to not be upset about this at all. And actually, I only know the details that you've given here, but the ex is probably enjoying this. Your boyfriend's mum may be playing some sort of game, I don't know, or maybe enjoying it as well. People like doing things like that. But the only reason it's affecting you, and I know this sounds a bit patronising, is because you're sort of choosing to let it. The fact of the matter is that you're in a solid relationship, you're in a great relationship, from what you said in this email, and this is the only sort of niggle. So you can actually just make the decision for this not to bother you. It's not like your boyfriend's going to get back with his ex. He's in a solid relationship with you. You guys have moved on from this. If your ex decides to still be around and still be doing this, and for them, for his mum to be tagging her in photos, it's out of order. And I agree with Tom, your boyfriend needs to sort of address that with her. But you can choose to stop being upset by this immediately. You can just decide, I'm not bothered by this. I'm in a solid relationship. This doesn't affect me at all. Like now, click your fingers. It's gone. That feeling's gone. Do you know what I mean? So listen, I think it's a combination of your boyfriend having to take some action, but also you can stop being upset by this whenever you decide to, you know? And I don't mean that in a way of saying that you're overreacting or anything. I just think that his mum and his ex can only have like this sort of power over you as long as you allow them to. And you can just decide that ain't going to affect you anymore. And as soon as you decide that, you're going to be a lot happier. In my opinion, I might be completely wrong. I hope that the wolf...
That was a really nice smile at the end. After that was a really sweet smile at the
Thanks.
End.
Thanks. I just thought, I don't know what...
I think if Anonymous could have seen that sweet, sweet smile, then it would have made her feel better. But yeah, good luck. We wish you well. Please get in touch and let us know what happened. It's always good to know.
Would you like one more email?
Yes, hit us up.
Okay. This is from the self-appointed Bear. Hello, Wolf, Owl and the Swan. First, can I shout about the pod? It's my favourite out there and I love you both. Anyway, I need your help. I'm a self-employed roofer from Leeds with a beautiful wife, baby worth 18 months old, and a baby on the way. Unfortunately, for the past year or so, my wife has been absolutely horrible to me every day, often asking for a divorce and usually ending up with me sleeping on the sofa or something, sometimes having to get a hotel and often telling me I'm not a good dad. I appreciate she's either pregnant or a new mum during all this, but it's really starting to get to me mentally. For months I've taken it on the chin, moved on, because I appreciate that the hormones are all over the place at this time. And I've been hoping that as long as I get through this current 9 months, things will change back to how they were. Tried a million times to approach her, explain how I'm struggling with her attitude towards me. Now the stress of everything isn't exactly safe for me to go to work with, and I'm only the breadwinner. But when I bring up stuff, she says that I'm going on about myself and continues on the path of destroying me. I work hard, often 6-7 days a week, and as I try to finish work early so I can get the chance to see both my wife and son every day, I'm not sure if this is just me not having enough patience or what. Any help, lads?
Well, firstly, I think, you know, a frank and honest conversation in this situation is the best thing that you could possibly do, if I'm honest with you, mate. I think the pandemic has been awfully tough on just about everyone. And I think especially sort of relationship. I think especially as well, people with young children, people with newborns, I think it's even harder in a sense because you're quite lonely and you can feel quite ostracized. And I think whether your wife is going through a time where, you know, she's feeling quite a lot of those things. I think, you know, a lot of the time when, anyway, in my experience, I know, you know, when people are acting like that is usually something that in themselves they've got some sort of anxiety or they've got something that they're upset about, and usually I'll take that out on the person closest to them, and that's probably what's happened here. You know, it's difficult because, you know, sleeping on the sofa is not great, sleeping in a hotel isn't great, and especially if you feel like you've not done anything and you're being as true and as honest as you can. I think I would say one of the best things that you can do is look at a way maybe of talking to a therapist or talking to someone that you can both go together and speak. I think having a third person there helps so much when you go through anything. in a relationship. I it's one of the best things I've ever done. Me and Catherine have ever done is sat and chatted to someone else about things that we've both found in our lives. And I think it's worth spending that little bit of money and spending that time to sort of, because you will break through and you will find out actually what's causing all this. So that would be my advice in this situation.
I agree with Tom. I think that look, it might be that she's feeling like this because of the stress of being a mum, and you know, there's all sorts of mental issues that come with having kids and having young children and being pregnant. So you need to sort of get to the bottom of that. And I would suggest some sort of help. You know, approach it calmly. Try and distance yourself from having a reaction to how she's talking to you, and try and get to the bottom of whether she really feels like that, or she's just taking out the stress of the situation on you. And yeah, as Tom said, get some help. I would urge you to do that as soon as possible. So Bear, listen, I hope that helps, mate. Good.
Go on.
Good.
Go and do you, Bear. You're a G, man. You're a G. And I wish you the best of luck with it all.
Okay, Tom. Well, look, that is the hour. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Thank you for obtaining me today and let me sit alongside you. Okay.
On this. Super weird. Super weird. What I would love you to do, just to bring the podcast to a close, is give us one of your trademark life lessons brought to us through the means of a poorly thought out analogy. Thank you very much.
Okay. Who is it who every morning wakes up as dawn breaks and the sun peers its weary eyes across the earth? Who is it who slowly trucks her way through street upon street just to deliver a newspaper through a letterbox? It's a sad and it's a lonely paper boy. And yeah, as the world moves on and as we go into an environment where we rely on computers and we rely on the internet to give us news, just cast your mind back to a time when this little guy was the most important person in anyone's life, because you wouldn't know what was going on if it wasn't for a paperboy. And you think of all the amazing people out there now who once upon a time were paperboys. Sometimes we get caught up in making this world spin that little bit faster, and we forget about some of the actual sweetest and most amazing things that made this land a country and made this country great. And for me, one of the forebearers of this was the sweet, innocent paper boy. And I only say this because this morning on my run back from the gym, I saw a paper boy and he was standing there with a broken chain on his bike. And I said to him, you know, I tried to fix his bike. Anyway, this is not part of the analogy. I tried to fix his bike, couldn't, and I had to be here for 10. So I had to say, look, best of luck. Oh, you, yeah. But it did make me think that I was a paper boy once. And in my mind's eye, I thought, I rode the highs, I rode the blues as I delivered your daily news. Being a paper boy is like most things. It's sacred and we need them. So remember, next time you're opening and you're eating your cornflakes and you open your door, I want you to shout out Scott, Jim, Bill, whatever your paper boy's name is, and just say thank you. Actually, thank everyone. Because remember, although the world turns, it's us who make it spin.
That really was remarkable for a number of reasons. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for that, Tom. How do you feel that one went?
You know what? In my head, it was going to go a lot better but I've got to say, I was sort of slightly thrown by the last letter, which was a very deep one. I was thinking about that. And then I was just thinking about that paper boy. He just cropped into my mind. Yeah. So I thought
you were going to celebrate the rooster, actually.
But... yeah, but then I did an analogy about the rooster earlier. Yeah. So, yeah. I just think, actually, I was going to go, you know what? Sometimes these go really, really well. But I do mean that. I do hope that everyone... Just for like 35, 40 seconds, just think about paper boys today.
Oh, that reminds me. On the bonus episode, we need to get a lot of people have done their thanking their delivery driver thing. So we're gonna play some of those onto the bonus episode.
Oof, I'm looking so forward to that. Pour some gravy on that, yo,
Tommy,
because I'm about done.
Okay, right. Tom, thank you so much. Thank you. We're gonna end this episode, and then Tom and I are gonna do a couple of adverts.
Keep it real and keep it easy.
By the way, just while we're on the subject of that, somebody got in touch with me to complain about one of the adverts.
Which one?
The Samsung one.
Okay. Saying what?
Saying that he found it annoying. I was going to read it out. I can't be bothered. Anyway, listen, mate, it's a free podcast. Go fuck yourself. See you later.
Bye.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.